All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, December 12th of 2024. And looking ahead here, we have a three-game NBA main slate tonight. We have a single-game NFL showdown. And then we have a 12-game NHL slate. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel and our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right. With that said, got some questions queued up here from the Discord in the chat already. Let's get SaberSim up and let's jump right in. All right. First question. I built a lineup on FanDuel for the Monday to Thursday football slate. I was working on my lineups and see that I'm getting a decent amount of lineups with two San Francisco running backs. Is there any way I can make a rule to limit the amount of exposure I get of two players that play the same position on the same team? Okay. So the short of it is no, you can't set a rule. So basically rules, the way rules work are kind of like all or none. You know, I can either set a rule here to, you know, use no more than one group by team. Imagine this is running backs, right? You know, the shooting guard spot is the running back spot. I could say use no more than one, or I could say, you know, use at least two or exactly two, right? And then I could do it the opposite way, where I'm forcing it, right? It's kind of one or the other. There's no way to say like, hey, use no more than one running back in, you know, 35% of my lineups or something like that. That would be a cool addition, you know, here, but I don't think it's like, I don't think the rules are really set up to work that way, right? If you wanted to do this, So two things, right? So number one, there's definitely a way to do this pre-slate, which you would let's say I need 20 lineups, right? And you don't want more than 50% of them to have two running backs from the same team. Okay, so then you come in here and then you do 10 lineups in one build with one rule. And then you do 10 lineups in the other build with the opposite, right? So in one build, you're saying, hey, use no more than one running back on the, use no more than one running back on the 10 lineups I'm doing in build one. And then you leave it open, right? You leave the rule off in build two, where you're basically saying, let's allow at least or up to two running backs if the builder so chooses, right? That would be one way to do it. And then what you end up doing is you favorite those lineups. The lineups go into the favorites tab, and then you can combine them into a single contest from there, right? So let's build some lineups here just really quickly to kind of show this. So like, say I have my 10 lineups, right? Okay. I'm happy with these 10, you know, these 10 are abiding by the rules that I set. And then I click the star icon. I favorite those. Now you're going to see 10 lineups get put into this favorites tab. You go do build two. And then once you're done, you can come into this favorites tab, see all 20 lineups and then save them all together. Right. So that's kind of what we're talking about. But the other part that I mentioned here is I'm not 100% sure how to do that in late swap. I don't know. I'm actually like almost positive you cannot run two separate builds and combine lineups for late swap because late swap is working on a contest by contest basis. So unfortunately a little limited there with your late swap, ability to do that. All right. Next question. How do you increase contest sim ROI from contest flashback in NHL contests? You know, this question is like really hard to answer, you know, by itself. There is not an easy way to say like, hey, just do, you know, one, two, and three, and then, you know, you're going to be all set, right? The best way to do this, honestly, would probably be to sign up for the build review show, where I bring your build up on stream and I'm reviewing it. I'm comparing it to the other users in the contest and their sim ROIs and trying to see the differences and help you to improve, right? So we do the build review show Mondays and Fridays, 5 p.m. Eastern. We do NHL reviews. We do all sport reviews. So if you want to get signed up, that's probably going to be your best bet. I can't give you like, hey, you know, you just do this and your sim ROI is, you know, you're going to be the top sim ROIer, right? I wish it was that easy, but it's not. So we got to definitely like dive into your lineups, what they look like, compare them to other users, look in your build, see what you're doing in there, and then give you some personalized strategy tips and recommendations, right? So very, very personalized advice there. So that's what I'd recommend. Sign up for the build review show. If you want to drop your DK username in the office hour channel, let me know what sport and slate you want me to review. I'm assuming NHL. Just let me know what day and we'll add you to the list for tomorrow's show. All right, next question. When discussing about optimal plays for our lineups, are those more consistent to cash and/or will they have upside? I know we discussed lead swap as well. Is there a most effective way to make all lineups have an advantage of lead swap for NFL main? Thanks. Okay, looks like two questions here. So number one is talking about optimal plays and consistency, right? So let's talk about, you know, like NFL Showdown, for example, right? Let's go to today, NFL, Rams and 49ers. Open up a build. 2,000 lineups is fine. Couple quick adjustments. Kick this off. Okay, so while this builds, we'll talk a little bit about Showdown. So if you click this gear icon next to max salary, you're going to see our sliders, right? Our sliders are set to zero correlation, 10 sim diversity. Now, what does this mean? Well, what this means is that the builder at sim diversity 10 is taking a single game sim from our database of sims, playing it out, building the best lineup under the salary cap, right? And then it does that as many times as for as many lineups as you have in your pool. So those are effectively optimals, right? And what we use the way that we use the word optimal means like the best possible lineup from a single simulation, right? When you start combining simulations, well, then it's a best lineup across those, right? So it's not tethered to a single sim, right? But when we're doing these sim diversity 10 builds, each lineup is tethered to a single way that the game played out in our sim database. Okay. So the pull percentage, which is the percentage that the players are showing up in the lineups, you know, like for instance, Puka Nacua was the best captain 19.1% of the times in our sims that we used to build your pool, right? So this is like his effectively his optimal percentage. Now, I don't want to go as far to say that, you know, higher pool exposure leads to a higher / more consistent cashing rate. You know, Showdown is one of the most high variance formats. Basically, the less and less games there are on the slate, the more and more the variance goes up. And then, you know, the more and more games there are on the slate, you know, you won't see like wild outcomes winning the slate, right? Or having such like a massive impact, right? So Showdown, it is, you know, incredibly crazy sometimes, like the things you've seen. Like I think we had the Broncos slate like a couple weeks ago, and they had a I think it was Broncos and Browns, and they had like a fullback score his second touchdown in like 10 years on like one carry, and he has like no carries on the year. And you know, that is extremely impactful for Showdown, right? But like even if something like that happened on like a 10-game NFL Classic main slate, there's enough other good plays on the slate where that's not going to have like a massive impact on how things turn out, right? Or ownership's going to be more spread out, right? Like a quarterback gets hurt on a showdown slate and like all of a sudden, you know, there go 80% of the lineups in the contest. But, you know, NFL Classic slate, you know, quarterback exposure, probably like 5 to 20% range, right? Like there's still tons of viable lineups outside of that. So part of that is like what I'm referring to here. So I wouldn't confuse optimal rate with like cashing rate. I will say that, you know, in order to get into these lineups, these players must have upside, right? They must have performed well enough in the sim to get into the lineup at their salary. So I will say that optimal rate is probably closer related to upside than it is cashing percentage. All right, second question. I know we discussed late swaps as well. Is there a most effective way to make all lineups have an advantage of late swap for NFL main? So basically, you know, in my opinion, late swapping by itself is an advantage, right? What are you getting by late swapping? And then second, you know, what are you getting by late swapping with SaberSim as opposed to other tools, right? I'm almost positive I have not seen anybody else in the industry do live sims where they are projecting the games as the games are playing out and updating their contest sim engines for that, right? Like, you know, when you have a Vikings double stack with Jefferson and Addison, like from this last weekend, and you are getting ready to swap your lineups in the afternoon window, you know, those lineups have massively crushed the morning window, and those players are so far past their projection. You know, those lineups, their cashing percentage is super high. Their win rate is going to be higher than a lot of other lineups. Like, you know, those lineups are on a clear path to the top of the contest. And the builder understands that, right? When we late swap, we are taking in that live data and then saying like, okay, hey, this lineup actually did really, really had a really strong start. You know, your new ROI is this, it might go from 100 to, you know, 2000%, right? Your new win rate is this. Oh, based on how the lineup started, you know, we think that this construction of players is better to complement the pieces that are already in it, as opposed to the lineup that did bad. It's like, ooh, you know, these pieces might not be as good for this lineup as that lineup. Let's give you these other players, right? In this other iteration of the late swapped lineup, right? In this other iteration of one of the child versions of the parent. So I think late swapping, one, you're accounting for new sims that have run. Two, if you're on Ultimate, you're accounting for the live data, live ownership, live projections. And then you are, you know, using that to optimize your lineups further, right? So I think late, just remember that, you know, late swapping is a good thing. Even if it doesn't work out for you, it is still a good thing to take advantage of the latest and greatest projections. If you disagree with that, then, you know, the way I think about it is like, okay, well, if you don't think that's true, then, you know, you should feel comfortable like setting your lineups on like a Saturday for like, you know, Sunday morning main and like never coming back and checking them, even if projections update, right? Cause that's kind of along the same line of thinking. But that's my opinions on late swap. All right. Sean put a question on tomorrow's office hours. Okay. Well, we'll answer it here. Hello. I'm usually able to narrow down my pool between 170 to 700 lineups after all rules, filters, etc. And I always seem to have the winning lineup in that pool. The only thing is that I'm unable to bring it into my top 150 or even into my top 20. Do you have any suggestions on a way to hopefully filter down my lineups even more to have a better chance at having the top lineup in my 20 or 150. Okay, so two thoughts here. Number one is the first thing that I would check is what sorting metric you're using And then I would find out where in the pool that lineup is, right? Or is most often, you know, you said this happened more than once. So my thinking here, right, is like, let's say that you're getting down to like, you know, I'm just going to pick a number in the middle, like 500 lineups, right? Well, you're getting your pool, effective pool, down to 500. And you're not playing that winning lineup, right? Well, let's say the winning lineup is like in the top 150 most often, but you're skipping it, right? Well, if that's the case, then maybe you're making too many adjustments to minimax exposures, to min uniques, to things like that, that are causing the builder to have to go further and further down in the pool, skipping those lineups, right? Then I would tell you to be a little bit more hands off. If you're finding that the lineup is in the pool, but it's lower in the pool and you're not getting to it, honestly, what I would probably recommend is making sure you're playing as many low stakes contests as possible to give yourself as many chances of getting to that lineup as possible, right? Like, you know, the other way of saying it is like play more lineups, but I don't just want to say play more lineups. I want to say play more lineups while being bankroll conscious, right? Like if you're only playing 20 or you're only playing 150, that tells me either one of two things. Number one is that maybe you're not playing that many contests, or number two is or even maybe you're playing like higher dollar contests before playing the low dollar contest, right? Like I could think about a couple different ways to get like, hey, you could play the dime time, you could play the respawn dime time, you could play the quarter, you could play the respawn quarter, you could play the $1. I think there's usually like a respawn $1. There's, you know, the 50 cent mini max, you know, there are cost effective ways of getting over 150 lineups down, even on a showdown slate, right? You know, it's also bankroll dependent, right? I don't know what your bankroll is. So that's like another consideration, especially like for like showdown and things like that. But I would try and find ways to play as many lineups as possible. And then, you know, it obviously it sucks, but if you are consistently building and filtering down your effective pool lineups to have the winner, it is only a matter of time before, you know, that lineup finds its way into your contest. But consider those other two points that I made about making too many changes if you're finding that lineup is higher ranked, or finding ways to play more low stakes contests, get more unique lineups down. All right, next question. For Thursday Night Football Showdown, should I adjust the max exposure for captain or leave it alone? So this when you run a build on SaberSim, you know, you're probably going to see one set of exposures, right? When I run a build on SaberSim, I'm probably going to see a different set of exposures due to our sim diversity slider, right? So like here, I ran this build. I'm looking at Puka Nacua 50% exposure. You know, you might see 50% Nacua think one thing. I might see 50% Nacua and think another thing, right? Now, some general guidelines. Personally, I'm okay if my exposure is 2 to 3x a player's ownership, right? So like Nacua, 18% owned. I have 50%. That's closer to 3x, but you know, 3 times 18 is 54. So this would still be like within my range. Some people might be like, hey, I never want to be more than 2x the field on a guy. You know, 50% is more than 34 or 36, and I wanna lower him, right? Like that's okay. So it kind of comes down to what your preferences are. What are the exposures you are looking at as opposed to somebody else? But I hope those guidelines help you out a little bit. All right, next question. Is there a way to control how often one player is paired with another player without full exclusion? So no, there is not. This kind of goes back to the question that we talked about at the beginning of the show, talking about the two friend San Francisco running backs, where you can do this with the favorites tab, you know, say like, hey, I don't want them in this build. I'm okay with them in this other build. And then you combine those and favorite those. If you want to see a demo, how we did that was the first question of the show, but there's not a way to say, hey, only allow this in like 20% of lineups or something like that. All right. Next question. How would a person only playing 5 to 20 lineups in one contest use SaberSim opposed to somebody playing 150 lineups in one contest? Is there a different strategy? I would say no. You know, I really don't think there's a different strategy. And, you know, I do this all the time, right? Like, I will play. I do this all the time. I'm doing it today. You know, I'm doing it with NBA later, right? I was like entering my lineups already. And I do a ton of this, right? When you enter less than the maximum number of lineups, what you are doing is you are entering your best lineups first, and then you are choosing not to enter your secondary best lineups, right? So for instance, if you're playing 20 lineups and 150 max, in theory, you should be entering your best lineup first, your second best, which is a little worse than the first one, then your third best, fourth best. All you're doing is saying, I'm not going to enter my 21st through 150th best lineups. Instead, I'm only going to play the top 20 out of bankroll management considerations, right? As far as what you do, right? I don't do anything different when I'm doing that, right? It's to me, it's just a 20 max at that point. I don't care that other users have 150 entries. I mean, good for them. You know, that's awesome. Hopefully I can max it out too one day, but I'm just not at that point, and like, that's okay. So I'm not doing anything particular or different. The only time I would say that, you know, I'll do that, or I've seen users do that, is like I've talked to a number of users this weekend, you know, getting ready for like the live final, the DraftKings Fantasy Football World Championship. Like, okay, hey, a bunch of people getting ready for the live final. You know, you have 1 to 3 entries, you know, in this different type of slate. Like, okay, it's okay to be like a little bit more hands-on. Maybe you're typically hands-off. You know, you want to be a little bit more in tune with your lineups. You don't want to use autofill. You want to use direct fill today. Like, hey, I get it, you know? So it's okay to do that, you know, when you're trying to build like 1 to 3 lineups for some contests that like maybe normally don't play. Maybe you have like a satellite entry to something, right? So I could understand it in those contexts for sure. All right. So far, so good. Got one more here, and I'm just going to type it because it's a short one. So do you have... All right. Question in the Discord. Do you have a strategy for NBA 20 max contests? Yeah, absolutely. So first thing first, if you're looking for ideas about how to build lineups for NBA, go over to Saber School. Go to How to Beat DFS. Go to NBA. Check out this top video, How to Build Winning NBA DFS Lineups. It's going to cover exactly the question that you're asking here. I'm happy to do a demo as well, but I would highly recommend still watching that video because Jordan is going to come at it with different perspectives and ideas, and it's always good to hear from more than one person and figure out which pieces of each person's process you want to take with you into your own contest, right? So let's go over to NBA, and we'll just start from scratch, right? So I'm in this NBA build. First thing I'm going to do, go to the contest tab, upload my entries, drag that in here. That will auto create some contest sims for me. So I'm just going to create a manual one. And then I'm going to go to my build. I'm not going to do too much here. Just going to make 2 small adjustments to projections. I like to just set a projection filter for like some of these bottom players. Like I'd probably set it, I don't know, maybe about like 7-ish seems like fine. So show lineups with my projection greater than 7. It is a smaller slate, right? So it's okay to get a little bit of some of these guys. We're seeing like some small ownership percentages in here. All right. So we're going to build, let's build 500 lineups. That'll be fine. And then let's kick this off, right? So while this runs or even before this, it's a good opportunity to come in here. Just get a little familiar with the slate, right? I like to come in here and sort by value. You can get an idea of like where some of the best value plays are on the slate. I'll say typically if you're you typically come in here and like, okay, hey, maybe I'm seeing a lot of Boston. You know, let's go to Boston and then let's go and see if they have any players out, right? And you can't see it. My face is in the way. But Jason Tatum isn't playing tonight, right? Sam Hauser isn't playing tonight. Those are two players who, you know, Tatum's obviously their best player and arguably. And then Hauser is somebody who gets like 20 plus minutes off the bench. So there's definitely some usage being opened up tonight on Boston in this game. So then you get a little bit more familiar with the slate that way, right? But anyways, lineups are finished. I'm going to kick off my contest sim here and going to move some columns around in the meantime. All right, contest sim finished. It switches to target ROI automatically. If you're using a manual contest sim, you have to switch it manually. So I'm going to do that. Got my average projection aggregate metric. Going to get an average ROI one. Save. Cool. So I'm about ready to start making some adjustments here. One thing that we do recommend is an ROI greater than zero filter. Seems good at a bare minimum. That got rid of 180 lineups, leaves us with 345. It's perfect. Now we can start increasing our min uniques, right? And we don't ever have to worry now about playing negative ROI lineups due to us increasing our min uniques. So I like to keep an eye on these aggregate metrics, 272.3, 278 ROI, and then start increasing the min uniques and see how these change, right? So projection down like 0.5. ROI down close to 20% at 3. 4, we get all the way down to 188% ROI. So that was like an additional like 70%. I'd probably go back to 3 min uniques here personally. These exposures seem fine to me. Most of them like 2x a player's ownership. If you don't like this, you can go further. If you're even willing to be more leveraged than this, you can go back up, right? Go back to 2 mini-uniques. Go back to 1 if you want. But, you know, this is what I'm trying to do for NBA, trying to get some diversification, trading that with projection and ROI, but trying to find a balance, trying not to sacrifice too much, trying to make sure I'm playing positive ROI lineups, and trying to trust the Sims, right? So this is a good strategy for 20 max contests, but also check out that video I posted. Or not I posted, but the video in Saber School. All right. We are all caught up with questions here in both the YouTube chat and the Discord. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be back tomorrow for office hours and the Build Review Show starting at 4 p.m. Eastern. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.